This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or go to BetQL.com. We're joined by Jason Sobel, golf writer for the Action Network and host on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM. What's up, Jason? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course, wish we were having you on for cheerier news, but can you give us the latest on the Tiger Woods accident in Southern California? If you have any more details about his recovery and recuperation in the hospital, if you have any updates.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just have the update that Tiger, Tiger's team updated from his own social media account, which is multiple compound fractures to his right leg and, of course, a fractured ankle. The ankle didn't sound very good at all. But again, I mean, you look at it, it's all relative. It sounds pretty horrible, but compared with, you know, seeing the videos or seeing the pictures and hearing what happened yesterday, you think about the what could have been in this situation, and leg injuries and ankle injuries are probably the best possible scenario, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, when the news was breaking and they're showing the images of the car and nobody's really speaking on his condition, I started to get these Kobe vibes, you know, like, oh, my God, you know, please.
You're fearing the worst.
Yeah, you start to think the worst.
What was your first reaction, Jason, when you heard about the accident? Because I'll be honest, and we talked about it earlier today.
Always.
We talked about it. We thought he looked terrible in that interview with Jim Nantz on CBS during the Genesis. There was something about his eyes, something about his face. We know about the addiction to the painkillers. So the first reaction I had, Jason, was, you know what? He was on something. What was your first reaction?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to speculate on that.
I get it. It's speculation. I know that.
Yeah, I will say that I was on air. I co-host a show with Michael Collins from ESPN.
I was listening
Sirius
to you.
XM, PGA Tour Radio. Well, thank you. But we start at 2 p.m. every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we just happened to start the show yesterday by talking about Tiger Woods, because on Monday's show we never really talked about Tiger's appearance on CBS during the final round of the Genesis Invitational on Sunday, and so we kind of got into it. You know, we say our high hellos, whatever, and, you know, joke around for a few minutes, and we get into talking about Tiger. And 10 minutes into the show, we started seeing tweets and seeing little news dribbling out of Los Angeles that Tiger's been in a car accident. And, you know, we quickly go to break and try to gather up as much information as we can in about 2 minutes during a radio break. And we come back and we started reading a tweet. It looked like it was from an informed source reporting some news. And there were details, and we kind of went from there. So I guess my long-winded answer to your question is that I almost didn't have time to react as a person with sort of feelings, because as you guys know from being on the air, and I'm sure you've been in situations where, hey, there's news breaking on the air. I'm worried about how we're covering this as opposed to, hey, let me think about it as a human in a humanized situation. And so, you know, I really never got kind of past that. You know, it was more from a, you know, let's not speculate. Let's not use any conjecture. Let's report the news. Let's report the information. Yeah. And let's inform people out there.
Yeah.
It's never easy with Tiger, is it? I mean, there's only so many comebacks a guy can have. But
yeah, these injuries are now starting to compound.
And I mean, the guy's had so many surgeries in his life. But I tell you what, I mean, we know he's not going to be Tiger of the mid-2000s, but I'm not betting against this guy. If he wants to play again and figure it out, I'm not betting against Tiger Woods. I'll tell you that right now.
So if you listen to Tiger over the last handful of years, whenever the subject of his multiple back surgeries has been brought up, the first thing Tiger says is not, yeah, I just wanted to play great golf again. I wanted to be around the guys and I wanted to be competitive again. The first thing he always says is, I just wanted to be able to live my life with my kids. I wanted to be able to kick the soccer ball around with them. I wanted to be able to go on a bike ride with them and walk around the backyard. And so he said that was his main goal through most of those surgeries. And so now that he's going through another major surgery and he's going to have a lot of rehab ahead of him, and who knows exactly what the long-term prognosis could be, but I would think now that would be his goal once again, is that, you know, if he can get back to a point where he can walk around with his kids, he can live a normal life, he can be somewhat pain-free on a daily basis, anything past that is gravy. And if he gets to a point where, hey, I can swing a golf club again, great. And if it goes past that and it's, hey, I can swing it pretty well, and I think I can play again, even better. And if it's, well, I can swim pretty well, I can play again, and I think I can go beat Dustin Johnson and Rory McIlroy and John Rahm and all these great players at a major championship, that's so far down the line right now, and I'm sure it's not even in the forefront of his thoughts, but of course that would be great to see. It would be, you know, we thought we saw already the greatest comeback story in sports, and to think that he could go way beyond someday and beat that. I mean, yeah, okay, I think we'd all love to see the fairy tale ending to all of this, and that would be terrific. But again, I think his goal right now is probably just thinking about his kids and being able to be around them and live somewhat pain-free again.
Yeah. I mean, he's 45. I mean, and what I kept thinking about was he was going through this rehab on the back because the back surgery wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. Right? Was it that December?
Yeah.
So now he's got to pause that and recover from the leg injuries. So I don't know, man. I mean, I would never bet against him, but he's going to be 50 soon. You know, I'm starting to think that I'm not going to see him play again.
Yeah, and the leg injuries are what's going to make the headlines today because that's what he had surgery on. That was the major injury, but I can't imagine that a surgically repaired back, one that's gone through surgery five different times, is feeling very good. He may not even understand the sort of pain that his back is in or what he might have to have done on his back based on this. And, you know, we've all had injuries in certain spots where you start favoring another part of your body because something else hurts. And I just can't imagine that his back is going to be able to withstand all the pressure that needs to be put on to, you know, to somehow rehab his legs. Hey, there's a lot going on here. Like you said, he's 45 years old, and I'll continue to say, look, if we don't see him swinging golf club in competition again, let's just hope that at least he can live a somewhat pain-free life and be able to be around his kids and be somewhat healthy.
I don't know about pain-free, but I think these are injuries he can overcome. I tell you what, Jason, I know you're also not like a CSI guy, but I don't quite understand how this whole thing happened. I understand it's a treacherous road and that you can very easily get up to a high rate of speed that makes it dangerous. But the fact that there are no, like, brake signs makes me just wonder, did he not fall asleep or something? You know, it was early in the morning. God only knows.
Do you think we'll ever find out exactly what happened because his camp is so private about that stuff?
Yeah, no, I do think so. The sheriff's department in Los Angeles County was pretty open with everything yesterday, and I do think some of this is going to be public record. So, yeah, if there's some video somewhere, and look, there's video of everything everywhere these days. I mean, you know, a neighbor might have a a Ring doorbell where you can see out and you can see
imagine?
What happened.
Yeah.
You know, you can see everything these days. So at some point, whether there's video that actually comes out or video that at least the police are able to see and help investigate. I think we'll at least know part of what happened or why it happened. I would think that if Tiger, as they said yesterday, there was no signs of any impairment. And if that is the case, I would think Tiger would want to be exonerated in the court of public opinion. So he's going to want to get the truth out there if indeed that is the case.
Is it true that they're not ordering a toxicology? Because I understand he didn't look like he was drunk or anything. But I'd be curious, especially if you're innocent, have the toxicology report. Prove that.
I had someone tell me yesterday after all this happened that if you go to the hospital with major injuries, that the first thing they'll do is a blood test.
Right.
So they may have not done one on the scene because they wanted to help him first as opposed to, hey, let's see if, let's do a toxicology thing right here. I think they wanted to help him, but I would think that's something that's at least done either in the ambulance or in the hospital once he arrives there. But I don't know.
Certainly.
I would think by law they have to do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, certainly they're taking blood, and there's no question about it. Whether or not they do a toxicology report on it, I don't know. But certainly if I'm Tiger Woods and my camp, and I want to show to everybody, hey, it's on the up and up. It was just something that's
an innocent
tragedy.
Yeah.
You would want that, I would think.
My guess is that Tiger wasn't in the state of thinking, hey, let me exonerate myself to the court of public opinion as I've just rolled over this SUV and they're pulling me out of the windshield. He's not saying, hey, you know what? People are going to think that one thing, so let's just clear my name here before we go anywhere.
I think Steinberg thinks that stuff. Don't you think, Jason, that Steinberg is all over that?
Yeah, probably. My guess is by the time it even got to Mark Steinberg, his agent, this thing was probably a little bit out of their control, is my guess. I don't know. Again, this is, it happened at 7:12 a.m. Pacific time yesterday. By 7:18 a.m., the fire and paramedics were on the scene. The first responders, they helped Tiger out of the vehicle, and they took him in an ambulance to Harbor UCLA Medical Center, which is apparently one of the best medical centers in the entire country. And I'm not sure that as quickly as all of that happened that Camp Woods was able to say, hey, let's, do this. Let's, figure that out. I think this was all about, hey, let's just fix him as quick as you can. Let's help him and try to heal him as quickly as possible.
Hey, Jason, before we let you go, I'm a degenerate golf gambler. I'm going to bet multiple tournament matchups, multiple round matchups for not just the WGC, but the Puerto Rico Open. But let's just stick with the WGC at the concession. I know you like Tony Finau to win it based on – I'm on PGAtour.com. That's your pick. But give me a tournament matchup you really like.
All right. Well, I mean, the little problem with tournament matchups is that depending on the books, they're all over the place.
Right.
There's no consistency from one book to the other, but I'll give you a couple of guys that I really like in tournament matchups. Matthew Fitzpatrick, who plays hard golf courses really well, and concession is supposed to be a hard golf course. He was T5 last week at Riv, and this should be a better course for him. He putts better on Bermuda greens in Florida, and so I like Fitzpatrick a lot this week. A couple guys that are under the radar you can get good numbers on. Billy Horschel, going back to his home state of Florida, always plays better here as well. Same thing for Gary Woodland, whose ball striking numbers were actually really good in L.A. last week, but he missed the cut because he just couldn't putt on those Poana greens. The putting numbers were terrible. I expect the putting numbers to come back a little bit this week. I think as far as favorite bet, you can get him at even money against Brendan Todd on DraftKings, which I think is a really nice bet this week.
Jason, thanks as always. We appreciate the time. Hopefully it's under better circumstances next time you're on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for the time,
thank you, buddy.
That's Jason Sobel, golf writer for the Action Network, host on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM. Coming up in just about 20 minutes, Walton Goggins is going to join
us. Boy, Lurch.
He's
the star of The Unicorn on CBS. He's been in about a billion movies as well. So we'll talk to him coming up at 8:40 right here on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Actor Walton Goggins will join the show in just about 15 minutes. He's the star of The Unicorn on CBS. That's coming up at 8:40. Mm-hmm. But we're going to continue to talk about Tiger Woods and the fallout from his accident yesterday. I think it broke around 2:30 Eastern time. The news reports started filtering out. I think that's about right. Mm-hmm. Somebody DM'd me, like he knew like a reporter there that said he had been in an accident like at 2:20, and then 5 minutes later, it's all, mm-hmm. you know, you see everybody just commenting about it on Twitter and on right. social media and them trying to, you know, get his car out of that ravine or whatever it was in.
The first thing that I thought about, and I texted Eric, was, you know, this was caused by, you know, him being impaired. And I hope that that's not the case. I hope it was just an accident. Because it's a lot more serious if he was impaired. So,
and a lot of people are upset with us that we're talking about that or speculating. And sorry,
yeah. I think, you know, it was just my reaction.
We were talking about it before the accident,
right? Because we were playing
kind of
the
a national yeah. story for people in the golf world, the golf geeks, that he didn't seem right with the Nance thing. Other people watched it and said they don't see what was wrong. He seemed normal, but people that are keen Tiger guys know that didn't look quite right. But doesn't mean that anything was happening.
Yeah.
And then I noted last week, and this is all documented, I put it on Twitter, like he was really giddy with Aeneas Williams and Derek Brooks at the Super Bowl. Remember I told you guys that? Like, mm-hmm. it just looked like, you know, I just figured he was probably having a few cocktails, you know, in the
suites.
A Super
Bowl party.
Hanging out in the suite.
Yeah, he was having fun.
And then the videos were out yesterday of him with, like, D-Wade. And, again, those of us that are huge golf fans, we've been watching Tiger for 30 years. We've been watching him since he was 16, 17 years old. He doesn't act giddy like that. It's just there's something wasn't right.
Although
he has, now, that doesn't mean that anything contributed to the accident, but right. of course we're going to speculate and do the math when this kind of horrible thing happens.
Although he is changing as a person. We've seen him change over the last 5 years.
I think so.
He's softened a bit.
He's more personable, certainly with his peers, you know, with the guys.
He looks like giddy in some of these videos, Jason. Yeah. And it's
Valdez,
just not like him.
Do you have an issue with the social media at all?
Yes, I do. I wanted to bring that up because you mentioned social media. Okay. I wanted to bring up the fact that the Junk's situational awareness, when big events are happening on social media, is a zero.
Oh really?
Okay. Yeah, I can't help. I know
you
you're Jason. This I guess this doesn't include you.
All right.
But everyone is refreshing Twitter, ESPN.com, whatever news source they can find to see if Tiger Woods is dead. Mm-hmm. All right, because we had no idea what was going on, and JP on the Junkies account is tweeting about the Junkies against DC Divas game. at some high school.
At what time? What time was this?
Oh, this was at 3:23.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
This is prime Tiger Woods might be dead time. All right. And JP has zero instinct and is tweeting about running on a track and how the Junks beat the Divas by 22. I couldn't believe it. The zero awareness.
Did you tweet him or text him?
I shared it with a couple buddies of mine. I said, "Can you believe the balls on this guy?" Yeah,
Eric, notice that?
Did you notice?
No,
oh, yeah.
No. But I don't even. Sometimes I don't even get the Junkies feed or something. I don't know. It's weird. So I don't even notice that stuff. But But I know that
that is kind of part of the cluelessness of JP, though.
I mean,
It doesn't stop with JP either. Because Cakes did it. Cakes did the same type of thing.
I don't know what I did.
Cakes had the massive.
Cakes's might be even worse than JP's.
Really? When were pimping the Cakes Classic.
Yeah, you're talking about the poker ambo, and there's an insurrection at the Capitol.
Yeah, that's true. I wound up deleting that tweet.
Well,
I rarely delete tweets. Yeah, I was in plug mode.
I know he was.
But yeah. I did stick my foot in my mouth.
I mean, yeah, Cakes' head was buried in the
sand. I realized the error of my ways. I think people overreacted a tad, but what are you going to do?
No, people do overreact.
Yeah,
life is allowed to go on. Not everything's a tragedy.
Overreact about everything. Yeah. But yes, I did realize that was a little. That may have been a misstep by your boy.
About these, you also
a bit of a stumble,
a little bit.
You have to remember, JP likes golf following golf and the tour about as much as. I like getting up in the morning.
Well, if it was Luka Doncic, he wouldn't be able to concentrate.
If Dirk Nowitzki got his leg severed, he would have been doing thoughts and prayers.
Agreed. But Your focus is going to be 100% solely on Tiger.
Tiger Woods is only the greatest sports athlete of this era.
I know, but he doesn't even watch the majors.
They completely changed courses because of him.
Am I the only one that was getting Kobe vibes?
I was refreshing constantly.
The heck out of me.
I was refreshing constantly. I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
I got to relive your guys' diva game.
I was just waiting for the statement to come out. Tiger Woods has passed. I was just waiting for that. I'm so glad they came out and said they're non-life-threatening injuries.
By the way,
I wasn't convinced of it, but I was worried about it.
Of course. Yeah.
By the way, JP's tweet got 6 likes.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Well, do his tweets get many likes typically?
Well, I'm just saying the junkie's account is pretty big.
That's pretty funny.
It just got nothing.
Well, it's in the heart of the biggest news story of 2021.
Well, it's going to get buried. Of course it's going to get buried. Yeah. Nobody's going to pay it any attention.
No, listen. Well, hey, for me, I think I was on point. All I was doing was talking about Tiger. I was nervous.
Sorry, that's just something that I noticed that was frustrating yesterday.
Right.
God, I'm so glad I'm not on social media.
Yes, you are.
You can't do anything right. You can't do anything right.
You can't.
No.
So many people.
No, you guys got to be, you just got to be aware. This is really, the last couple of years, this has been like the number one rule of Twitter is you shut down your Twitter whenever there's breaking news.
Yeah, you got to read the room.
Yeah, I didn't read the room last month.
Well, let me ask you this. Did JP tweet about the accident at all before he talked about the diva game?
No.
I'm sure he didn't.
He was responding to people, but, it was a blip on his screen.
Right. I just thought how ironic was it that we were just talking about Tiger and the way he looked in the Nance interview, and then a few hours later, his car's rolling over like Daytona 500.
So people think I was being insensitive. So I was taking a nap. Right before my nap, I saw the D. Wade video. Okay, this is before any accident. And again, he just struck me as being like drunk. Like he just struck me as being giddy. And so I just linked the video and I wrote gummies ? Like all I could think about was like Lurch and his golf buddies at Pebble hammering edibles, on the course.
Yeah.
And so I tweet that. I go to sleep. I wake up. He's in an accident, and the people are attacking me for speculating. I tweeted it before the accident.
All right,
nobody knew at that time.
We're going to pause on Tiger for right now.
Let's get back to it, though.
But at 9 a.m., we're going to be joined by our friend Kevin Schaefer, a firefighter for 3-plus decades in the area. He has a really good perspective on rescuing people from accidents like the one Tiger Woods was involved in. So we'll get him on at 9 a.m. But coming up next, Walton Goggins from the Unicorn on CBS is going to join us next on The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. If you missed today's show, that is not a problem, my friends. You can rewind up to 24 hours. With Radio.com Rewind, download the app, select our station, and you can go back in time. It's almost like magic. Just put it on your phone. It'll take you like 2 minutes.
In time.
You can do that, yes.
You can go back in time, Cakes.
Certainly can.
All right, what are we doing here with Walton? Are we waiting, Cakes? What is...
We are waiting. We're in a holding pattern. He should be joining us very shortly.
It's one of those deals where he's doing a million interviews.
Yeah, we got about 8 or 9 minutes with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have just a few.
And he's
going to
call like Chicago after us,
right?
And then New York.
But he's such a great actor that we said.
I'm
yes
a huge
to him.
Fanboy of Walt Goggins. He's I first saw him on The Shield, and that was back in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. He played Detective Shane Vendrell.
I used to really
great
like that
character.
Show.
Great character. Yeah. Yeah. And then Justified came out. I don't know, 5 years later. And he played Boyd Crowder, another great character.
Mm-hmm. And, you are a fanboy.
Oh, yeah. And he was
what do you
also,
think people most recognize him for when he's walking the streets these days? Ooh. Does he have a big role on Sons of Anarchy?
He was in Django, too. He's in Django Unchained.
Oh, was he?
Sons of Anarchy, he played a transgender prostitute.
Mm.
And the character's name was Venus Van Damme. And right. It was just kind of a very interesting I'd almost want to ask him about playing that role, but I don't know how much time we'll have.
Yeah.
But he was also in a show called Six, where he played a member of SEAL Team Six. It was on History Channel. Another great show. I mean, he just makes good TV shows. I don't know what to tell you, Cakes.
Hey, it's Brett. That's my favorite show. It's a very inside joke. I don't even know if you guys get it. I know Valdez gets it.
Right.
That's a very micro-casting joke.
Okay, so Goggins is from Bama.
Okay, but he's from Birmingham, I believe.
But he was raised in Georgia. You think he's a Bama fan or a Georgia fan?
Ooh, it's a good question. When did he move? When he was really young?
I don't know. So I'm guessing he's a Georgia fan.
I'm getting the vibe that he might not be a big sports fan, though.
I mean, he's probably lived in California for a good chunk of his life.
Yeah, when you're born, in Alabama or something, I mean... I would think it would be huge. I mean, you'd be kind of ingrained in you.
Right.
But when did he move to Georgia, Jason? How old was he?
I don't know that.
I'm going to say, I'm going to swim upstream here. Not a college football fan.
Yeah, I think he strikes me as like really like intelligent, smart, artsy kind of guy.
Artsy. Yeah.
Yeah. He just strikes me. Artsy. But it could be the worst read of all time. I also thought that, Tiger was a virgin. I mean, I'm terrible.
Very inexperienced.
Yeah. I'm terrible.
Our soul reads are sometimes
EB. Sometimes they're off, man.
He's probably doing
sometimes
a long
interview. Sometimes you put a guy on the wrong hand and you pay for
Draft's
it.
Draft's calling him right now.
Oh, yeah. He was doing Kansas City before us. He's probably going
what were you waiting for? The PR person to give the green light?
Inside baseball. It's
these are him. Always a lot of plate spinning. Yeah. When the guys are doing 40 media bits in it,
well, it's
a
deal where
span.
We've done a million of these, and we typically don't do them. But halfway through, all of a sudden, a PR guy will interrupt your interview and say he's got to go,
right?
Or they'll hang up on you. It's just super annoying.
Yeah,
but we make exceptions for big sillies.
And Cakes, I was watching some episodes of The Unicorn season one. Pretty funny.
Yeah, I caught a few yesterday.
You know what I like about it? No laugh tracks.
No, of course. I mean, you can't have an elevated comedy in 2021 with a laugh track.
No,
he would disagree with you.
Well,
can't do it.
I mean, sometimes I would have to question his taste in comedy. His taste in entertainment.
Do. And I certainly do.
Right. I know that Valdez questions his timing when it comes to tweeting during major events on Twitter.
Well, I used to kill Kevin McCarthy for that all the time. Kevin
he just tweeted inappropriate
he still
times.
Is.
Oh, he still does.
Well, because he doesn't care about anything but movies. So every tweet is about a movie. And so it's never sort of
I still do like
anything.
His continuing bit, though, where people confuse him with the political Kevin McCarthy. All right, we'll talk right. about that a bit later. Joining us now is Walton Goggins. He stars as Wade in The Unicorn on CBS. The Unicorn, currently in its second season, airs Thursdays at 9:30 p.m. What's up, Walton? Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, good morning, D.C. Good morning.
Hey, man. Walton, I was just telling the boys I'm a huge fanboy. Huge. And I'm not just saying that because you're on. I was a huge fan of The Shield. Huge fan of The Shield. Love Justified, love Six. You're just in some of my favorite shows, bro.
He goes way back with you, Walton.
Thanks, man. Hey, you know what? I'll take it. I'll take that, man. We're old friends, is what you're saying.
We're old friends.
Thank you very much for saying that. I appreciate it. You know, I've been around a long time, you know, one of the greatest joys I get is when I'm in another city or kind of out on the road and people stop and have a conversation. And I don't know where it's going or what storyline they're kind of talking about until right. they kind of get into it. And I just dip into whatever story they're watching and just go relive that journey all over again.
Right.
And it's just wonderful. I'm so grateful. I'm so lucky, man. I'm so lucky.
That's amazing.
I want to tell you a quick story, Walden. So I was vacationing in the Bahamas, let's call it 10 years ago. Okay. I'm not sure exactly what year, but it was a while ago. And we were in a really nice restaurant at the Ocean Club. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sitting right next to me was Michael Chiklis.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to him. I said, and I bothered him. I had to bother him, man, because I had to tell him that I was just a huge fan of the show, and I told him I was a huge fan of yours, and he was very nice. I don't know if he was with his wife or some other lady, but he's a very nice dude. And so I bothered Michael Chiklis.
Would you bother co-star. Walton? Go ahead, Walton.
Good for you, because you know, well, I mean, and it's hard to bother Michael because he's so, you know, he's a Boston guy, you know, and he's right. just this, like, is for this big kind of macho dude. He's not that at all. You know, he's a poet, musician, and he likes to talk more than me. he's that kind of guy. And so you may have said, I'm sorry to bother you. And then Michael wound up bothering you because he wouldn't be quiet.
He followed me out to the car. Yeah,
he became a big bother. Hey, Walton, what is the timeline like from your agent approaching you with the show concept for the unicorn on CBS to it actually appearing on CBS? How long does that runway take to get from concept to actually being on the air?
You know, that's a great question, and no one has ever asked me that question.
Look at that cake.
look at that. Look at you. What are you, Barbara Walters? What's happening right now? I read this pilot, and I read it in, I'm going to say, March. Let's call it the timeline, we get, like the beginning of March. And a friend of mine was producing it, Peyton Reed, the director of Ant-Man and the Wasp, and his two buddies, Mike Schiff and Bill Martin. And we had a long conversation about it. And I said, okay, if we can do it this way, if you let me do my thing, I'm in, because I think we could do a lot of good in the world. We could actually say something about all of our struggles and all of our triumphs, and have it be funny, but really meaningful. And then we worked on that script and we turned it around, and I don't know, maybe like 6 or 7 days, cut to literally 3 weeks later, maybe a month later, we're filming the pilot.
Wow.
And that was it. And that was while the Gemstones was kind of going on. So I was like going back and forth between Baby Billy and Wade, which is not easy to do. but we did the pilot 3 weeks later, and a month and a half after that, CBS picked it up. And then the next thing you know, there's a new direction in your life. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. We're on this journey now. Let's do this. You know, what does this mean? And it's one of the greatest decisions I've ever made. And I am so grateful every day I go to work to get to tell this story in this way. And these are big themes that we deal with on this show, but we do it with several spoonfuls of laughter.
Yeah. Oh, it's very funny. Unicorn is in season two. I got to ask you, and if you haven't seen the Unicorn, Walton plays Wade, who's a widowed father, and he's got two daughters. And I don't know the actors' names that play the daughters, but they're very funny. And I'm just wondering, I don't know, I'm going to call them 13 and 11. I could be wrong on the ages, but do they make you laugh off camera? Because they're just funny kids.
All day. Every one of these kids make all of us laugh all day long.
Right.
And it's Ruby J and Mackenzie Moss. And you know, you knew it. We saw the tape on these two wonderful young actors, and then literally day one of the pilot, it just clicked. You know, we did our first thing together, and it was as if, you know, I'd been raising them since they were born, and I just love them both so dearly, and they're hungry. You know, that's the other thing about, I don't know if you guys feel this about what you do for a living, but you see young people kind of coming up in radio, and I think you have a responsibility to pay it forward, right? You teach them and you take them under your wing the way that people taught you and took you under their wing. And that's how we all feel as the parents on this show with the people that play our children. And Ruby and Mackenzie so desperately want to grow as young artists. This isn't the end for them. This is just the beginning. And I take such pleasure and really kind of talking through what they're experiencing.
They're
right.
Fine.
And so, well, what if you tried? Yeah, that's right. And I love it. And I just love it so much.
Hey, we were talking about something before you came on, and you were born in Bama, I believe, but you were raised in Georgia, and so we were kind of throwing it around before you came on the
show. Glad you're asking this, Jason.
Are you a Bama fan or are you a Georgia fan?
Well, you're talking about, like, the SEC championship going on in my head, like,
right.
The rival. I'm a Bulldog guy. You know, I'm, like, back to Herschel Walker and the Coca-Cola. But only, that's what I was raised with, and that's what everybody around me, like, you know, drilled into my head. So I gotta go Bulldog.
Georgia. All right. Good answer.
He's Bulldog Nation. Well, Walton, we could talk to you for longer, but we know you have to run. We appreciate the time. He stars as Wade in The Unicorn on CBS. Currently in its second season, airs Thursdays at 9:30 Eastern. Thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
thank you,
bro.
Buddy.
Appreciate
you
it.
You're welcome. And enjoy tomorrow night's episode. Bye-bye, gentlemen.
Yeah, man. Thank you, pal.
And he was on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com for all that skinny that you need to beat the book.
You know, I love having those guys on, like the big actors, but mm-hmm. when they're on these radio tours, have so many questions for them. You know, I could talk to him for an hour.
He seemed like a good dude. So, like, he seems like genuinely, like, he's happy to have this opportunity to, you know, be on the show on CBS.
I mean, I wanted to ask him how big his house was, how many cars he has.
Right,
does he live in L.A.? Does he know the road the Tiger crashed on? You know, I just had a ton of questions.
I think he's in the spirits game, too.
He does the spirits bit. He's got a distillery somewhere. I don't know if that's in L.A., but
was
yeah,
that
good for him.
His, like, bell from, like, his producer telling him to get off?
No, I think it was the other radio stations or TV stations chiming
oh,
in.
Oh,
yeah, the other morning zoos trying to get a piece of him.
That was a circus getting him on.
Yeah.
Was
it?
It looked like
we did it.
I wish
it,
yeah.
Super nice guy.
You know, we're glad that you could see us working behind the scenes
we
with
did
the camera.
There was a lot of working going on there. We could tell.
Yeah. Hey, Walton. He was a super nice guy.
Love Walt Goggins.
Love him. Yeah, I'm going to have to look out for him more now. Hey, I watch him on The Shield. That was it. That was 20 years ago. Now
I may have to dip. I may have to dip into The Shield now. I'm going back in the way back by watching Breaking Bad.
Maybe you haven't seen The Shield?
I have not seen The Shield.
Not one episode?
Never.
Oh. Hey, Eric, you should watch out for this player called Zion. I heard he's going to be pretty good.
I'm a little more in tune with that than I am with Walton Goggins, but he's instantly recognizable. But the only thing I know him from is The Shield.
Cakes, you have to watch The Shield.
I'll give it a run.
I know people tell you to watch all kinds of shows, but man, it's good.
You should stop your Breaking Bad binge right now and watch The Shield.
Drop it.
The Shield pummels Breaking Bad.
I haven't seen Breaking Bad, but I know The Shield's better.
Breaking Bad is really good. Boy's a little bit hooked. Borderline obsessively hooked. I'm basically almost done.
All right, watch. All right, finish it because you've invested all this time.
Yeah.
Finish it and then watch The Shield. I don't know how many episodes The Shield has, but it was like 6 seasons. So, and then tell me which one's better.
I'm convinced all Cakes does is sit down and watch TV all day.
No,
he's already done Breaking Bad.
That's not true, but I mean, of late, I have been watching multiple episodes most days.
Well, I mean, the days have been brutal.
Well,
the weather's been
I know.
Awful.
Well, how many episodes are there of Breaking Bad? Over 100?
No. There's only
like 70,
50,
I think.
50-some.
Well, still, he finished it within a month.
I'm not done yet, but I'm not that far from being done.
Combine that and finishing Dexter in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, I blazed.
Well, look, he
Dexter.
Does two things when he gets home. Well, he takes his nap, but then he watches Breaking Bad, and then he looks at his Bitcoin price.
Right,
and he realizes
I do all of those things.
So hundreds of thousands of dollars in his Bitcoin account, his Coinbase.
Yeah. I wish
he could finance another season of it.
I'd be psyched to get really Walter White cooking the meth again. Oh, I'd be all about it. Let's do this.
Yeah. Dude, somebody says The Righteous Gemstones on HBO. Have you seen that one, Jason?
I have not.
All right. Something to look for.
Is that Walt Goggins as well?
Yep. Yep. All right. He's really good.
He's a busy man. All right. When we come back, we'll dive back into the Tiger Woods talk. We'll talk to our friend Kevin Schaefer. He's been a fireman in this area for 30-plus years. He'll talk about the details of the rescues similar to one that happened with Tiger Woods yesterday in California. That's next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.